Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, in about 5 minutes. Leafs Avs tonight, Pittsburgh and Edmonton tonight. Raptors coming off a bad loss last night. Ja Morant not even in the lineup for Memphis. And Raps are reeling, man, especially at home. They're getting smoked at home. Not a good scene for them.
To quote Gareth Wheeler, our buddy, loves some of his comments because they're just right to it. Right. They stink. End of story.
Well, yeah,
you expected it, though.
They're a sum of their parts operation where I think if you have Van Vliet, Siakam, and Ananobi all healthy and playing, you got a shot at being maybe a 500 team with depth. Like, you need help from Ken Burch. You need Chris Boucher to figure it out. Boucher's been awful for them. Nurse can't even play. Doesn't even look at him. Their bench is awful. Defensively, they've struggled. But I brought this up with Sam earlier, man. Masai and Bobby Webster didn't do them any favors. They are such a young team and such an inexperienced team. Even Fred VanVleet he's in uncharted territory, man. He's the guy. Like, he's the guy here. He has never been the guy. It's his fifth year in the league. He really came alive a few years ago. And even at that point, that championship run, it was in and out. Like, he was not a primary piece on this team. He came alive later as the playoffs went on. But he was not one of the main guys, needless to say. Never
the
started.
Philadelphia series, they barely could put him on the court.
Exactly. And during the regular season, he didn't get played a lot. Like, he was a bench piece. He was a guy, and he wasn't the first guy coming off the bench. He's dealing with this. Siakam's dealing with this. Ananobi's been injured. They got Precious Achiuwa playing too many minutes, and he's not capable of keeping up in the NBA. They don't have size. You've got young pieces like Delano Banton and Malachi Flynn playing minutes, and they're just young. They're young. They're inexperienced. They don't have a superstar that they can lean on to just drag them to a win every once in a while, and this is the reality right now. They're a team that is kind of – it's a development season. That's what it is.
Hanging around.
Maybe it changes by the end of the year. Maybe when you get guys healthy again, you can kind of stick around and fight for a wild card spot. But this is – and the thing is, you get to the deadline, they don't have much that they're thinking of trading anyway. Like, Goran Dragic is that older guy with a big contract that you could trade and add another piece or two to it and try to bring something back. I don't see them in that position. Like, this is basically going to be the team. They're just going to keep plugging along and – give the guys as much play as possible and hope Scotty Barnes keeps growing and Banton.
That Dragic is not coming back, is he?
Dragic is done. I think it's – yeah, I don't know what the personal reason was, but, you know, the Raptors, I think both sides are happy to be like, we'll see you later.
Yeah, basically. Move on.
We'll see you later. Let me know when you're going to buy me out, or let me know when you're going to trade me, and I'll be ready to go whenever I go to my next destination. So, Raps are in – they're not in a good spot. They're not a good team. They're a young team. They're an inexperienced team. They don't have veterans. They don't have superstars. This is what you get in the NBA. So Darren Dreger coming up here in a moment. The Grappler will be in. We were thinking maybe with it being December 1st, we'll jump in front of the rest of the sports media world, do a little trivia looking back on the season, possibly go around the table with a couple of things and jog our memory, considering, you know, we're into the final month here, man. It's December 1st today. It's go time.
It's crazy. So, it kind of all just melts together.
Yeah.
But you're right. The weather kind of turns it for you, although it was a decent day today. It didn't feel awful.
Not too bad. Yeah, 2 or 3 degrees.
Yeah, you have to adjust your expectation. That being said, it's, you know, it could be ugly tomorrow, could be ugly this weekend.
It's not going to go backwards, right? Yeah. Like, now we're into December, it's certainly not going to go backwards. But, and the World Junior roster was revealed today, or at least those that are going to be invited to the camp, and they're on the ice in 9 days out west. And before you know, they're, what are we, 26 days away from them playing again and back in Edmonton, back in Red Deer, and this time with packed buildings. So I'm looking forward to seeing Shane Wright. Connor Bedard was invited to the camp. I don't know if he'll make the team. Owen Power is going to be a lock, first overall pick last year. We know he wasn't there last year, didn't leave Michigan.
So he's going this year?
Yes, Power's on the team, and perfect. You know, he's going to be playing. I would think he's going to be their number one defenseman, or certainly should be. I mean, he was at the World Championship playing like 22, 23.
Yeah, he's a horse. Absolutely. He's going to be a player.
Yeah. I love that because he'll be my guy.
That'll just be your guy. Watch
this highlight pack from Owen Power. This guy is awesome. And then he says, easy, grab a coffee in the morning, watch all his good plays, send it off, done.
Yeah.
It'll be an automatic. Bedard, get him in there. Some
I hope he makes the team. I hope Bedard. I don't know if he will. You know, they're obviously.
Dude, you saw him in the summer. He was on fire at that under 18 or whatever the hell he was in the summer. He's unreal.
Yeah, he's the presumed first overall pick next year. Although there's a Russian kid coming with them next year that looks like he's a, is it Mikov, I think is his name?
Mechkov.
Yes, and he looks like he's got the makings of being a superstar himself. But this is what Hockey Canada, it's a good problem to have. You know, you got so much depth, so much talent, so many 19-year-olds where you're like, I don't know if the 17-year-old's going to make the team, regardless of how good he is. But there is a history of young players making it. McDavid did, Crosby did, Spezza did, Jay Bouwmeester did.
Yeah.
You know, there have been young players. Obviously, Gretzky was there when he was 16, I believe. But we'll see with the camp roster being revealed today. And, again, they're on the ice out west in about 9 days when camp opens. Here's our TSN Hockey insider, Darren Dreger. What's happening, Dregs?
Hey, guys. Oh, all is well. How are you?
Well, we're doing well, yeah. I mean, we're into December. We were just saying the World Juniors right around the corner. And obviously that there's going to be a lot of excitement for that. And I don't know how closely you're tracking it in terms of NHL players potentially being sent back. But do you think COVID and everything that's going on in the NHL, does that affect any decision-making from an executive standpoint about whether or not they send kids back or not? Or
I don't think so.
No.
You know, I mean, the organizations that I deal with daily are – pretty much all systems go. I mean, every team is walking on eggshells, right? Because, you know, every day there's the potential of something happening, somebody going into protocol and all of that, and how you manage. And, you know, I think the NHL, as was reported last night on Insider Trading, is now kind of biting down a little bit more and reminding all clubs that they have to continue to do their due diligence. But, look, when it comes to development, if it's all systems go and you're healthy enough, then play at the highest level. And I know historically managers have always loved their prospects playing on that world stage because it's peer versus peer and it's best versus best. And you always want to see how your younger players, you know, kind of show off at that point. But, you know, it's also a feather in their cap if they come out of that with a real strong experience.
Dregs, you know, no secret that Jake DeBrusk in Boston has asked for a trade. I know you've been monitoring it. Is there a big marketplace for him? I mean, I see now as Joe Haggerty, I don't know if you saw that on Twitter, kind of you know, made a comment, and it looks like his mom has responded to Joe Haggerty, and they're kind of having a conversation on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
So it's, that's never a great situation. But, you know, ultimately, what do you think of the player and the marketplace? Is there a lot of interest?
There is a lot of interest. The question is, though, Noodles, at what price point, right? Like, he's a 25-year-old kid.
Okay.
All right. I think we lost Dregs. Maybe he's going to fight with Joe Haggerty at this point. Who knows?
No, I think it's a respectful conversation. You know, Haggerty basically said, you know, request officially made this morning for Jake DeBrusk to speak with the Bruins media, and he's basically declined. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Haggerty saying because it's a bad look to force your teammates to answer that. And, you know, Cindy DeBrusk said he's not forcing anything. You guys keep asking. You ask the players. So it's, you know, and Hags goes back at her and just says, I respect you as a mom, blah, blah, blah. So it's a respectful conversation, but it's, you know, it's one. It's a tough. It's
I understand where Haggerty's coming from, though. Like
exactly.
this is a business. If you like, the demand is in. He wants out.
Right.
If you want out. Your people are going to be intrigued by that and want to ask you why you want out. Like that's the nature of the beast.
If it's me, man, I say I'm going to go home until something happens here because I just don't want to be around. I don't want to face my teammates. And it's not like pulling the pin on them, but it's like I've made my request. I'm not going to come back here and bluff it like I want to be here and act like I want to pour my heart out for this team because something happens that he doesn't, so don't make me do it. I'll be at home and something happens, let me know.
You're right. Before we bring Dregs back in, just one other point on that. They can't even healthy scratch him because they don't have any players. Like Providence is like a COVID. And like they are in one right now, so it's I think they're kind of having the force to DeBrusk to play. That might have been an avenue, right?
Well, yeah. Dregs, what would the reaction be like if DeBrusk did just say, I'm going home, see you later, considering the circumstances in Boston right now?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's the character of the player or the kid, right? Like,
right.
He's been brought up the right way. Things haven't gone as he expected. And look, when you're sharing blame, I feel like it starts with Jake DeBrusk. And I don't think that he'd be offended by anybody saying that. You know, Cam Neely came out and said, well, he's not as greasy as he used to be. Well, the game isn't as greasy as it used to be, so I can take issue with that. But, you know, I would also say that Jake DeBrusk has been a victim of circumstance. Nick Ritchie was there. Now he bumps Jake DeBrusk from net front on the power play. Charlie Coyle comes in. Now he's got a piece of the power play. You know, Taylor Hall comes in. These are established players. So I guess if Jake DeBrusk is going to be criticized, it's for not being diverse enough or having enough variety or versatility in his game. He's a left winger, right? Like that's been his success. And in Boston, it seems like some nights, most nights, he's playing on the right side. Now, again, at 25, has he approached this entirely the right way? No, probably not. So it starts there. Bruce Cassidy, is he culpable in all this? For sure he is. Look at the stat line of Jake DeBrusk. Kid scored 16 playoff goals in his young NHL career. And we know what he's done against the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? And other clubs. So this kid has some game in him. I don't think there's any reason to doubt that. So I don't think that he's ever going to just take the ball and go home. And he got to a breaking point recently with a healthy scratch where I guess he felt like he had to ask for a trade. So before we broke there, you know, Noodle, you asked me about how much interest there is in DeBrusk. Yeah. There's a lot of interest. There's a lot. And look, I'm going to rewind the clock here a little bit because this isn't the first time that we've talked about Jake DeBrusk being on the trade block. It was a year or two ago where his name popped up again. And I know St. Louis at that time, before they acquired Pavel Buchnevich from the New York Rangers, were pretty hard after Jake DeBrusk. Boston wanted the moon for him, and understandably so. But St. Louis wasn't going to do that. I believe they got, Sammy Blaze and a second-round pick for Buchnevich. And, that's what St. Louis sent to the New York Rangers. And I think they were basically offering that for Jake DeBrusk. But they were in there pretty heavy. Brad Treliving is always in there. And I have no doubt that he's sniffing around again. Vancouver, definitely in there. Arizona, absolutely. Montreal, yes. I mean, we're talking 12 teams or more. But what's the return? You know, and then that's what I'm most intrigued by, because if Don Sweeney is expecting to get what he perceives to be above or fair market value, that's going to be a challenge, because this kid has gone through tough times in Boston, deserve it or not, and not that far removed from being a healthy scratch sitting in a press box. So if you're looking to hit a grand slam right now on Jake DeBrusk, especially with a qualifying offer, that's probably not going to happen.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. So, big game here in Toronto, Colorado in town, their only time all year. Nathan MacKinnon returns.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's going to be a good test for both sides. I mean, listen, the Leafs are a confident group. They've won 14 of 16. They shouldn't be concerned about what's happening necessarily on the other side of the ice. But both teams dealing with, I think, a similar history in terms of being quality regular season teams, high-end regular season teams.
Yeah.
And the playoffs have been very disappointing. Do you see a spitting image here, Dregs, in terms of expectations this season? Like, it's one thing to roll through the regular season, but both Toronto and Colorado, they've got to win rounds. They've got to start winning in the playoffs.
Yeah, I do, but I do give the edge to Colorado, and maybe that's unfair. It certainly sounds unfair given what Toronto has done of late. Colorado just feels like they've, even though the playoff success hasn't been there, that they're closer. And look, I'm willing to eat my words and be dead wrong, you know, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that's what both teams are going to have to accomplish. But there are similarities for sure. You know, the good thing when I look at Toronto's perspective, and Noodles, you weigh in on this. Are we willing to stop talking about Colorado's goaltending? Because I think we've stopped talking about it in Toronto, finally. It took long enough for everybody to realize that, okay, Jack Campbell's legit. Jack Campbell's good enough. You don't need more than that. He stays healthy. Everything should be fine. Can we say that about Colorado? Maybe we can. I don't know. But there's enough firepower on both sides that it's going to be a fun game, despite what happens moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Sorry, just want to weigh in. Yeah, Campbell has really been consistent, and he's been fantastic this year. I think Kemper has taken a little bit to settle in. New organization, new system. You know, a lot of things that were moving on with Colorado, Makar out and COVID and all of that going through their team.
Yeah.
He's a good goaltender. I like Kemper too. Big body. You know, if you look at the Leafs going to try and beat him, I was looking at some statistics today. His only like weak point as far as where he's been beaten the net is high blocker. So it'd be interesting to see if they're looking at that tonight. That's the predominant, like I get these goaltender reports every morning and where guys have been beat. High blocker has been one that kind of stands out for me on Kemper. But that being said, it's what's behind him in Colorado is still a question mark for me. Whereas in Toronto, I at least know what Peter Mrazek is. He's an NHL goaltender who can challenge for tandem minutes. You know, not 100% concerned, or I am concerned of what's behind Kemper in Colorado, you know, depth-wise, put it that way.
Yeah. So all I'm hearing here, Brian, is if Austin Matthews doesn't beat Darcy Kemper high blocker, then Austin Matthews is a fail tonight.
Yeah. No, no, the pre-scout will be there.
He doesn't do his pre-scout. He's lazy. He doesn't have the stash anymore. Maybe he's, I don't know.
Be lighter tonight.
Maybe his head is in the clouds tonight. Go ahead, O.
Dregs, for the last 2 weeks or the last 2 months, I guess, we've been talking about the tire fires. Is the heat cranking up in Winnipeg? Because I think they just lost to Arizona.
Yeah,
One nothing to the Coyotes, and the Coyotes are so bad. That's got to be amping up there a little bit, doesn't it? Or a lot.
Yeah, maybe. It is. I put Winnipeg, and I shouldn't even say this out loud, but I guess I will now that I've started, because I don't really have strong evidence of it, and I'm not making excuses for players, but I am going to apply Matt Murray's situation. Not the reason Matt Murray was waived and sent to Belleville, but if his struggles weren't enough pre-COVID in Ottawa, his struggles coming out of COVID in Ottawa were significant, right? Health-wise, getting everything back. And honest to God, guys, I think that is real. When I watch Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele play, I think those guys, whether they would admit it or not, Paul Maurice would talk about it. Management will talk about it, disclose it, all that. It's confidential. I look at the guys around the league who have had COVID. We don't know, so many of them are asymptomatic, but some of them are symptomatic and some of them have had issues. And maybe they didn't realize how significant those issues are until you step on the ice and try and play at the level of the National Hockey League that you once played. So I know that sounds like a bevy of excuses, but I feel like that's gone into it a little bit with Winnipeg. But they should be coming out of that by now. So in answer to your question, the Heat's got to be ramped up. But I don't think it's to a point where we're starting to look at, okay, Paul Maurice is on a hot seat, or God, has there ever been a hotter seat for Chevalier off this year off ice? Probably not. So he's not getting fired this year. But I can understand that there's a high level of frustration around the game of the Jets right now.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, Brendan Lemieux gets 5 games for biting Brady Tkachuk, which means they concluded he did, in fact, bite him multiple times. I guess it was inconclusive, the video. I don't know.
It's asinine to even have to say that.
It's so crazy.
Multiple times.
It's
multiple
so silly.
Times. So what's the reaction league-wide? Is that enough? Is that not enough? No. I mean, I don't know how to react to a guy biting someone twice. If they gave him 15 games, I'd be like, yeah, I get that, I guess. He bit him twice.
Well, I guess all they did here, Brian, is save a number of lawyers some time. Because if the suspension is 6 or more, then it can go to an outside arbitrator. If it's 5 or less, then it's up to Commissioner Bettman to act as the arbitrator if there's an appeal. So I don't expect there's going to be an appeal. But I'm trying to envision being in that room for this in-person hearing. Obviously, I've never been. I don't know if you guys have been. Maybe Noodles, when you two-handed. Who was that back in the day? No, that wasn't in-person.
That was a misunderstanding. Yeah. That was Johan Franzen.
Yeah, that's right. I remember it now. It ended your career, so you got a lifetime suspension. Yeah. But Like, if you're Rob Blake in the L.A. Kings and, you know, Lemieux's agent, who we know who that is, you know, and the Players Association, and you're sitting there and you're going, okay, well, there isn't video evidence that conclusively shows Brendan, you know, chomping down on Brady Tkachuk's hand. All we see is the aftermath and Brady being irate and then his tirade postgame. So that's really all we're going on. And honest to God, I feel like that was the only thing that saved Brendan Lemieux from being an 8, 9, 10 game suspension, was that there wasn't clear cut video evidence aside from the aftermath, the evidence on Brady Tkachuk's hand that he actually bit him.
Wow. Yeah. It is such a goofy conversation.
But it really is. Like, to even hear that, it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know what they should do? They should offer, whether it's full media disclosure, like a Zoom conference, but at least allow the player who is the victim in this case and his agent to sit in and listen in on it. Can you imagine how angry? Well, let's start with Keith Tkachuk, Walt. He'd be furious. Matthew wouldn't be very happy. Brady would be irate. So if we needed more fuel to the Lemieux versus Tkachuk family feud, this might be it.
Oh, this is it. Well, it's circulating when Keith and Claude fought at the World Cup in 96, I think it was.
Yeah, well, how about Claude biting Jim Poplinski back in the day?
Well, hey, listen, man, the tree didn't, I guess the apple didn't fall far from the tree, right? That's where you learn it from, and Claude was the best at it when it came to being a pest and rattling cages, but also showing up in big games. We'll see if Brendan
did.
All right, buddy, we'll leave it there. Enjoy the games tonight.
All right, you too, guys. Thank you.
There's Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, Claude Lemieux he's certainly a top five biggest pest of all time.
Like villain?
In league history.
He's
villain or whatever you want. Like, Ulf Samuelsson comes to mind. Brad Marchand, I don't think he's in that cat. As much as Brad Marchand is a guy that is a pest and the opposition hates him, Sean Avery would probably be up there.
Yeah. Did Ulf Samuelsson, was it Ty
Ty threw a sucker punch at him.
Right in front of the net. Like, glove off, looking the other way.
What would that get in today's game?
The year. I think he would have got the year.
He got.
I'm not kidding.
How many did he get? I think he got 8 games or something.
I think the year right now. I'm not kidding. The year.
There is one, like, I don't know, and I don't want to bring this up because I still believe that Jeff Boogaboom has had still issues to this day, but like Matt Johnson on Jeff Boogaboom was one of the most
suckered him from behind, punched the back of his head.
Like, yeah, these are terrible things. No place in the game, but I just remember, like, I thought it was Ty on Samuelsson.
Oh yeah, it was at the Gardens, right in front of the net. He just I think he grabbed them with his right hand, pulled them in, dropped his left glove, and hit him.
Yeah.
And, like, knocked him out. Like, he was out. Like, it was gruesome. And Ty paid a big price, but it wasn't that big, relatively speaking. I mean, today it would be 82 games or whatever. It would be pack your bags, you're out, we'll see you next spring.
Dude,
or next
I could
fall,
never
basically.
Figure it out. Playing on the same line as Ronnie Francis and all the dinners and all the chats on the bus, and his best friend was Ulf Samuelsson. I just couldn't put the two and two together.
Well, I mean, you hear about these pests on the ice that are great guys off. I mean, that's it, right? Tyson Nash would you call him a friend of the show? He was a pain in the ass on the ice.
And yeah, for sure. A
buddy of mine. I mean, outside of the call on the Hossa call, which he did verify to me. I don't know if I told you guys that. He was getting death threats to his hotel.
Oh, yeah.
In Chicago.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway,
cleanest hit he's ever seen. Rafi Torres, just crushing Marian Hossa.
It's still a very that's a tough one. Cleanest hit he's ever seen. Yeah, I don't know about
I mean, that's clearly was hyperbole. I don't know why that popped into his head. Like, even if it's a clean hit, which he thought it was, cleanest hit he's ever seen. You know, like that. Really?
That's tough. Yeah,
come on,
that's
Nash,
the one.
Come on,
that's the one. But yeah, like, there are some good guys who are. you know, get underneath your skin.
That's your role. That's your role. Right? If that's what you do, you have to be an agitator. You have to be a guy that's chirping and hitting and fighting. And it's a really tough job to have. It's a lucrative job because you're in the NHL and you're getting paid and you get to live an NHL lifestyle. But going out there every single day and being like, man, there's a guy, someone on the other team hates me because of something I've said or done, and I have to be prepared because there's a chance he's going to come at me, or there's a kid that's coming up that's going to challenge me. You know, it's a tough gig.
Yeah,
like, it is a tough gig. Whether you're a fighter or pest, whatever. There's the reason you're there is because that's the type of energy you bring to the ice.
Agreed.
And you got to bring it pretty much every single night.
Every night.
So, yeah, Leafs Colorado tonight, the Thursday nighter tomorrow night. We'll get back into this who wants to be Al's brother idea. The Grappler will join us. The Grappler is going to be the trivia quiz master, I guess we can call it, because we're going to get out in front of this. It's December 1st, and the next month we're going to see a million lists and trivias and what have we seen in sports over the last 12 months. Well, we'll be the first ones. We're going to be proactive on this.
Don't forget, we have to do the Lou Brown soon.
Oh, yeah. The Lou Brown Awards are coming back, 100%.
Oh, yeah?
Because the Lou Marsh, we do our own version, which is the Lou Browns.
Right. Exactly. We don't pay attention to the Lou Marsh Award. We bring the heat with the Lou Brown Awards. And believe me, it's in the wheelhouse. We'll probably do it maybe next week. We'll fire up.
Whenever the Lou Marsh is, the day after is when we do it, generally. Yeah. I don't know.
I think the Lou Marsh probably coming out next week. I think it's generally the first couple of weeks of December, so the Lou Brown Awards will be the second right annual there. Lou Brown Awards are definitely back in the rotation.
What was the name of that other reward we had?
We had the Elmer Fudd there.
The Elmer Fudd. I have one sitting here somewhere.
Yeah, the Fudd. That's a broadcasting excellence award.
Yes. Yes.
The Lou Brown is, you know, very – there's a lot of them. There's different awards, right?
The Roger Dorn where you want to piss on his contract. There's Willie Mays.
Serrano can't hit the curve. Exactly. There's a ton of them. So believe me, we'll be bringing those back. You don't have to worry about that. The Lou Brown Awards will make their triumphant return, the second annual. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away this week. Leafs Tampa, Thursday, December 9th, next Thursday. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, third clue of the week. This Maple Leaf has scored 20 goals once in his career. This Maple Leaf has scored 20 goals once in his career. So that is a clue courtesy of the Grappler. There he is up on TV.
What's going on, boys?
Is it gone, Grappler?
Yeah, it's gone. I kind of wish it was still here just so it could get one day on camera. But it's feeling kind of chilly. But no, good to get rid of it. Happy it's gone. Fiance's happy. Everyone's happy.
Listen, it's for a good cause, right?
It was aggressive, too. It was quite an aggressive
By the end, it got pretty bad.
Yeah. There's a lot. Like, Onright's stash is just
it's
legendary.
It's disgusting. I don't know how
I think he died it, too.
He did die it. I love it, though.
I love it.
Like, it is... It is so thick and it's meaty. Like it's kind of attached. Like it covers half of his cheeks too. Like it's just gritty.
Yeah, like, it's like a farmer's stash and like
ride a Harley. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, Onright was pulling out. Dreger's was the same, and yours, Grappler, was up there with the best of them in terms of just grittiness and just out of control. And
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So, we mentioned this idea with. Who wants to be Al's brother? You know, the idea of Al's brother still being in here tomorrow, making his pick, making the announcement, because Team Al Dog on the clock tomorrow night, and there will be another pick available to the O-Dog. He can either stick with Al's brother's pick, or he can take the other pick, which in this case could be Graham Dillette, Kara Wagland, whoever it might be. And I think that would add some suspense, some intrigue. Maybe Al's brother picks a winner, and maybe O-Dog goes with him, and it's all good. But if he goes against Al's brother, the idea that the pick is the opposite one and he could have finally got a winner with Al's brother makes this, for me, very compelling. So, you're involved. You like this idea. Grappler, I think you're okay with this idea yourself? Or
no, I'm 100% on board. I mean, I feel like every week O is looking for a different way to switch up the pick and then nothing ever actually changes.
Well, Grappler, let me ask you something. If you... we're getting demolished like we are, would you not be somewhat interested in doing something different?
Oh, yeah.
We went 1-7 yeah. in the last, like, 1-7.
I know. It's. I was here. It's impressive. yeah, I think you got to switch something up, but I guess, okay. you know, consistency is important. So, you know, if you're going with Al's brother 1 week and then Kara another and Graham Dillette another and Gord Miller, it's, you know, there's such a thing as too many voices. So
that's true.
I think, you know.
But the beauty of this grappler is he won't know who they're picking. So that means it's ultimately on the O-Dog to make the right call. So
the one thing I would change, and I think I mentioned this in the group chat, is that I think that after O selects, whether he's going with Al's brother or, you know, whoever's given you their tremendous information, you should then reveal the pick. So at least he knows who he's rooting for the game.
Yeah, but that, I think what makes it
no,
so
No, I
amazing.
Like, I you don't do? Even okay. like knowing that here's my on. Addition to it. You don't even know it's Kara Wagland. It's Al's brother or the mystery person slash pick, right. and you say, gone, done.
And I think it's important for him not to know Grappler, because the idea of him having no clue who he's for or against, but knowing who Al's brother picked is what is amazing, because Al's brother's pick will be revealed. It will be public. And if he goes against it and goes with a mystery guest, the idea of him chewing on that.
Imagine the anticipation for 4:05 the next day, opening the envelope, Hazy, wow. revealing
exactly.
it.
I think it's spectacular.
And I guess the one thing that it concerned me is that, you know, people love to fade Team Al Dog. So I guess this way, if Al's brother's still giving out his tremendous information, they still get to fade him.
Exactly. Still very right. charitable.
Mystery person could be a small rat tomorrow, and I'm taking the mystery pick.
Okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Remember, what is that show, The Masked Singer?
Yes.
That's basically you're going with the mystery guest.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
It's a mystery selection. Al's brother's right. going to go on his little rant, and he's going to sound like he knows what he's going to do, and I have to decipher that and say yes, no, or the mystery pick.
Or I'm going with the mystery pick. And maybe the mystery pick, again, is the same pick that Al's brother's on. That is a possibility, right? It's a 50%
right.
chance. So I think we stumbled across something here. But, all right, we'll iron out the details. We'll do that tomorrow. Grappler, we were talking earlier this afternoon, December 1st. We try to be a very proactive show. We try to stay ahead of the curve. Everyone and their, you know, brothers and sisters over the next 3 weeks are going to be doing their year-in-review trivia. We figured deck first. Let's get in here and go around the horn.
Yep.
So you've got at least a few for each of us, right, based on what happened in sports in 2021?
Yeah, so I've got four questions for each of you. And it'll just, you know, we'll obviously knock them off one at a time. Start with Hayes, then move the noodles, back to Hayes.
Okay.
And then once we get through those 12 questions, if there's time, and there's a tie, then we'll move on to a tiebreaker where I message each of you in the break to grab something to write with.
Yes.
If you're able to do that, great. I mean, it may not even matter because we may not need the tiebreaker, but yeah.
Let's should we get rolling started, here? Buddy. Yeah, what do you have? I'm up first here. Okay,
yes.
Let's go. Your
All
review
right.
trivia.
Brian
like
Hayes,
it.
Trivia question number one for, I guess, 2021 in sports. Name the two players who won NBA regular season MVP and NBA Finals MVP.
Ooh, Giannis. So you're saying the finals MVP, there's only one finals MVP.
Yes.
Okay, so Giannis won the finals MVP.
Yeah.
And then you're asking me who won the regular season MVP?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I can't figure this out. It wasn't LeBron. It wasn't Giannis. Oh, I'm panicking here.
Russ?
It kind of caught me off guard, too. Again, like Noodle said in the last break, everything just kind of molds together. So when I
know
saw
everything's
it,
going
like,
through my
oh,
mind now, and I'm like, what the hell? Was it? It wasn't Harden. It wasn't KD.
Was it Westbrook?
No, it wasn't. It was
CP3?
No.
I'll just say Giannis because I'm running out of time here. Giannis, back, but I know he didn't win a game in a row.
Nikolai Jokic.
Jokic, of course. In Denver, okay. Of course it was Jokic. And it wasn't even on the tip of my tongue. Yeah. Giannis in the MVP in the final. Jokic, okay. So there you go. I'm 0-1 to start. Noodles,
all right.
Go ahead.
0-1. Noodles. Three of the top four goal scorers during the 2021 NHL season were Matthews, McDavid, and Draisaitl. Who is the other member of that foursome?
Rantanen.
Wrong.
Alex.
Hold on.
Oh. Nah.
Hold on. Well, can I guess
you got it wrong, though. So, yeah. What's the answer?
Alex DeBrincat.
DeBrincat.
Yeah, 32 goals.
Jeez, wow. The grappler.
Again, another one of those things that you wouldn't expect it.
Exactly. The Jokic one, I should have had it. Just I wasn't ready for it. Like, that's a good question.
I wouldn't have guessed that DeBrincat. He would have been farther down on my list.
I would not have come up with him either. No way.
All right, we're 0 for 2. Oh, okay. Name the four major winners on the PGA Tour in 2021.
The four major winners. Augusta was Dustin Johnson in the winter. Correct?
No, because that was in 2020.
That was 2020.
Yeah, see, we're getting this.
I don't know. What are you talking about? I'm trying to figure out. You give me the year, and I'm going to tell you.
2021.
But Dustin Johnson won it in 2020. That was the 2020 Masters.
Okay, we're going back to 2021.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. U.S. Open. Jeez, I don't even know where it was. Tell me where it was, and I'll tell you the winner.
Can't do that.
I don't remember where.
Dude,
it was.
You got to give me the venue.
I don't have the venue.
Outside.
I know three of the four. I don't remember the U.S. Open winner. I know three of the four.
Okay, the British Open is Morikawa.
Yes.
Yep.
The PGA was enough. Phil.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Open, I'm just trying to think of where it was.
Oh, I remember who it was.
No, where it was. I just need where. Like, I can't even remember. You got to tell me where it was, Grappler.
I don't have that information in front of me.
Wings, it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I just looked it up. But, yeah, I
you got to tell me where it was.
Who cares?
It has nothing to do with the answer.
Torrey Pines,
U.S. Open, the winner was... God!
That's horrendous.
See, that was never going to help you.
Okay, come on.
Torrey Pines, the U.S. Open. Oh, John Rahm. John Rahm.
And you still need the Masters?
The Masters.
How much time do we have?
Yeah,
clock.
Yeah, he's got to list four names. We'll give him time.
The Masters. Why am I not knowing who won the Masters?
Because it was a rather off the
board
name.
Don't even say anything, Grappler.
Okay.
Oh, Hideki Matsuyama.
That can't count.
Yeah, but like, he had 2 minutes
counts.
Long.
That's like me saying, what team was the MVP on? He said Denver. Yeah. I'm like, oh,
Jokic,
clearly.
It's COVID. I was trying to remember what year. I got them all. Go ahead. Okay. Hazes up.
We're going to have time for two questions.
Yeah.
Each,
yeah.
But
see, this is why we stopped doing trivia, I think, because the timing was just... Anyways,
yeah,
okay.
Right. Tough.
Hayes, two MLB teams tied for the worst record in baseball this year with 52 wins and 110 losses. Name one of those teams.
One of those two teams. I mean, I want to say Baltimore, but I feel like Baltimore wasn't. Detroit got better.
Washington wasn't so hot.
No, they buckled down the stretch, but I'm trying to think of it wasn't a team. Was it a team in the West? Is it Marini? Arizona, I'll say. Arizona.
Who do you think you are? I am.
And Baltimore was the other one.
Yeah, Baltimore was the other one. Okay. All right. I felt good about that.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Okay, Noodles, all right. What do you have?
Noodles. This goaltender was the NHL leader in both save percentage and goals against average last season. Had to play a minimum of 14 games.
See, it's easy. It would be easy to go Vasilevsky, but it's not. That's a thing. You had to play.
No,
it's greasy to say 14 games because there's somebody who played 15 games that had both of them.
He did. This player did play more than 15 games.
All right. What? Say it again. Goals against and save percentage.
Yes.
Let me think here.
I have no idea.
It might be Campbell. But I'm not going to say it yet. Hold on. Just thinking because I don't know if his save percentage was as high as... I'll go Robin... the Flower. We'll go with the Flower.
For the love of gracious, come on!
That's a tough
Alex
one.
Nedeljkovic.
Oh, Nedeljkovic. Yeah.
What?
I never would have said Nedeljkovic.
Me neither. Same thing.
Yeah, but he played, 26 games?
Yeah, I was in and around there. 25, yeah. I think.
Good for him. I mean, Carolina, that's a tough question, man. These are good
American
questions.
He's an American goalie, too. He's going to be, he'll be farther down on that list. But he's one of those good young American goalies. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's put a clock on this next one, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
This is only a one-person answer. All right. Oh, this 13-time Pro Bowler and one-time Super Bowl champion NFL quarterback retired this past offseason. Who is he?
13-time Pro Bowler?
13-time Pro Bowler.
God, this seems like so easy. Quarterbacks retiring. It's not Alex Smith.
I might even have this one.
I got this one.
I might even have it. I mean, I might be wrong. I'm not going to say it, but I might even have this one.
When you hear this, you'll be like, of course.
Right, yeah.
I'm Eli Manning.
No, salad rebuild.
Oh, gracious. Yeah. Come on.
Fantastic hair.
Drew Brees.
Salad rebuild, yeah.
There's your boy, Doodles. There's your inspiration.
I was like, it's got to be Brees, right? Yeah. Because all I can think about is a salad rebuild.
Okay.
And he went right into the booth.
All
right,
we have time for one more quick loop, but we got to put a time limit on this.
Yeah.
How about we just skip ahead to the tiebreaker between – I think each of you got one, right? No, Noodles didn't get one.
Include Noodles in the tiebreaker.
Okay, tiebreaker for all three, for all the marbles.
All right.
Leon Draisaitl is the NHL's leading scorer this season with 20 goals. Who is currently the second highest leading scorer to play on a Canadian team?
This season? Like since September of October
yes,
of this season?
This season.
Who's highest
goal scorer?
Austin Matthews.
No.
McDavid's got a ton.
That's a dumb question. I don't even understand it.
Who has the next and plays on a Canadian team? It's Mangiapane. It's
McDavid. I think it's McDavid. I'm going to say McDavid. I'm writing him down.
No, there's somebody with 14.
It feels like it's got to be a trick question.
There's somebody. There is. There's somebody with 14.
It's not Bill Nylander.
No. I'll say Mangiapane, but I don't think it is.
It's got to be Mangiapane. There's no one else. It's Mangiapane.
It's Mangiapane.
There we go. Never give up!
Okay. That's a weird question for a tiebreak.
I don't know. It made a lot more sense in my head.
It does. It's confusing because last year was technically a part of 2021 as well. But
right.
From the start of this, that's a good question, though. Mangiapane, I thought McDavid had...
Well, that's the thing. I was surprised. Like McDavid 14, close. Kyle Connor at 14.
Yeah,
Connor's Oh, Mangiapane's got 15. That's what I mean.
Yeah, he's the pick. Yeah. Okay. All right, there you go, Grappler. I like it. We're bringing the trivia back into the swing of things.
Yeah, little self-serving. Grappler got some airtime, FaceTime.
I love it.
It's been a while after being in my bedroom, on my couch. It was nice to get in here.
Everyone, this is the Grappler.
Yeah. Wearing his Blue Jay gear, too, supporting the team. I love it. Kevin Gausman doing
great
his
signing.
Thing
great signing.
Today. On board the next Randy Johnson, I would have to believe. Kevin.
No, I got to spend the offseason figuring out that comparable.
Okay.
But
Someone better than Johnson.
Nate Pearson, he'll be number five in that rotation. Just
Pearson never comes up. It's amazing. It's like he just couldn't possibly crack the rotation.
He's gone. Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind.
Good stuff. All right, well, we got some more trivia. Maybe we bring in the next questions later this week or next week. And the Luke Brown Award still to come as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life.
Time now for one more
horny
hot take.
Jerry's jacked for the Oilers and Pens game tonight and ready to make this conclusion. Connor McDavid will finish his career with a better points per game average than Sid the Kid Crosby.
Well, we discussed this a little bit earlier. So right now McDavid is fourth all-time, 1.42 points per game. Sid is seventh all-time, 1.27 points per game.
Dude, you're like the quiz master. You are so on the points per game deal, aren't you?
I love it. Yeah, I love it. It's a big part of my whole routine. Makes me sound informed. It's a Google search.
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to say 100%.
Oh, I'm not going that high, man. Sid's played so many more games. Like, McDavid's not going to have 140 points every year. Right, like at some point he's going to scale back.
But he doesn't need to, Brian.
No, he's averaging a fair amount more per game than Sid. I'll say 55%. I'm going to give him the chance, and I'm in the majority, but I don't think it's a lock.
I'll give him 80.
Okay.
I'm right in the middle there because I think it's 63%. I mean, you're leaning towards it, but it's a long road to go. Sid, there was rocky road there as far as concussions, and I think there was a lot of times where people thought this guy's never going to make it back. Mm-hmm. And knock on wood, he's had a ton of longevity. And that McDavid's had some injuries too.
Yep.
That's the thing.
Yep, no, for sure. This news just coming in, Chris Johnston saying that Darcy Kuemper is an upper body injury. He's not playing tonight. So Johan Johansson is starting, and I guess they got a, university. There's an e-bug coming in from U of T. I don't know what's – or yeah. Jonas Johansson. Sorry, Jonas Johan. All right, we're out of here. We got to leave.
Yeah.
Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
– Jonas Johansson, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.